Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to stroll through a few things this morning. I want to talk a little bit about when you get discovered. And you feel direction, but we lack development. And how God puts all those things together for His purpose in our life. And the process, we don't care for too much from time to time. We'd like to have the revelation that, hey, we're discovered, we're anointed. Now turn me loose. And the counterpart is, for some of us, we just want to be discovered and we want to be anonymous and just kind of keep things status quo in our spiritual life. I want to blend some of this together this morning. May the Spirit talk to me, talk to us about this. I want you to consider Moses. He was trained by Egypt. Remember? Moses born. They're killing babies. Moses' mother puts him in a basket, sends him down the river, taken into Pharaoh's house as an infant, raised as if he's Egyptian. That his Hebrew background was kept a secret, was hidden. And he grew up in the house of Pharaoh. He was trained by Pharaoh. He was trained by the teachers of Egypt. He was in the culture. That's who trained him. I want you to remember in the background of this, God is not up in heaven going, oh no, oh man, Pharaoh found Moses. What am I going to do? I had a different plan for Moses. He was going to be the deliverer for God's people to come out of slavery. Oh, no, what am I going to do? As if God's panicking. I don't know where you came from, and I don't know where you're going, but this process between, I don't want you to think for one moment, whatever has gone on in your life or is going on in you right now, God is not panicking. He loves you and He has His eye on you. And you and I might have a plan, but He knows how to take the current of the river of our life and land us somewhere. And where we land may not look like home to us, but He will use it to develop us for what He has for you. What He has for us, because He has a purpose for you. Turn to a couple people around you again and say, I know I've been talking to you a lot this morning, but God's got a purpose for you. Right? I know I've been talking to you a lot this morning, but God's got a purpose for you. Moses finds out who he is. He's a Hebrew. He's one of them, one of the slaves, goes from being one of the great leaders involved at the time of Egypt, from the house of Pharaoh, and is now in the pits making bricks. When he finds out who he is and where he's from and who his family is, you know, he tried to free God's people. It's like he was discovered. Whole discovery process. Who he really is, where he was from. And his circumstances change drastically. The attitude of his heart changes drastically. Right? He endorsed the slavery of the Hebrews, to help do the dirty work to build Egypt and make it great. And now his heart has been transformed. He's discovered some things. He's been discovered. And so he takes things into his own hands, right? And then he has to run away for 40 years. Live in the land of Midian. Because he wasn't developed yet. He had all the training in Egypt. But God had to take the Egypt out of him. You hear that? Had to take the Egypt out of him. Discovered that his heart to free the Hebrew slaves was also God's heart. And God reveals himself, and Moses is discovered. But he went through development so that he could go back and do it God's way and not in his own hands. Not in his own hands. Not his own strength. Not his own plan. Moses did not come up with the plan. His plan was no good. There's a friend of mine. He has a saying. He doesn't live here. He says about himself, I've learned something, he said, for all these years. My first thought, that's the wrong thought. We come up with a plan. We feel pretty good about it, pretty smart about it. But you and I need to, as we're discovered, discover God's plan. God knows where you're at. He knows where he wants to bring you. You know, where God wants to bring us into our future, I want you to grasp this. Where he wants to bring you and do through you, or how he wants to use you, where he's going to bring you, I want you to know you're not ready yet. Don't be discouraged by that. You see, if you were ready, he'd already have you there. You and I have to develop. We feel discovered, or we have a discovery, and we feel direction. We can't just carry that out without being developed. Now, don't think for a moment that we have to be made perfect before we're useful or God can do anything. Well, that's just not true. He uses broken people all the time. But there's a development and a process that has to go on in us. It's not just developing a skill, because God has gifts for that. And we should still develop our skill and be faithful with it. But he has to develop us as a person. What do you think all this conflict in our life has been for over the years? It's to develop us as a person. It's to take the Egypt out of us, or the wrong side of the tracks out of us, or wherever we've been. We've learned some things there, but there's some things that we need to have unlearned. Some things that we learned in our past that we picked up along the way because we got hurt, we got bitter, we got broken, we were trained with faulty thinking. However the world, the flesh, and the devil has been at work. God wants to take the Egypt out of you and I. He was taking it out of Moses. I want you to consider the disciples. I mean, most of them were fishermen, right? And Jesus called them. They were discovered. He found them. He called them. Follow me. Jesus found you. I want you to know that you did not find him. He found you. He went looking for you. That's how valuable you are. That the God of heaven, his Son, and his Spirit have sought you out. You may think that you found it, but he found you. He's the one that goes and finds the lost. He's the one that left heaven to come and what? Find us, save us, help us. There's not enough goodness in the raw Randy to find God. He had to come find me. And he had to draw me. And he had to bring me along, just like you. It's like he does for us. So here's these disciples. They're discovered. Come and follow me. Come and be my disciples. He takes them from fishermen to, right, you already know this, to become fishers of men. He had to teach them some things because their life was very different. Fishing for men was different than fishing for fish. He had to get the stink of Egypt, the stink of fish off him, and they had to be developed to deal with the brokenness and the filth of humanity. He had to develop them. He didn't just call them, my disciples, you're going to be fishers of men, and they just ran off and did it. No, he had to develop them. They had to go through development. You and I can have some great dreams. We can feel like God's discovered us. He's got our number. I feel some clarity. I'm feeling some direction. Okay, turn me loose. It's a terrible thing to be discovered and not be developed as a person. You and I get displays of this all the time, and not just in those who look around us, but in headlines over the years, right? You see people with a great skill or a great gift, or they've been discovered, and they reach some moment of fame and opportunity and platform somewhere in their life. And then we watch the moral decay hit the headlines. Because they never developed as a person. They were only discovered. You and I are called to develop. God's discovered you. We're called to develop as people. He can have a call and he can have a purpose and he will bring us there. But in Christianity, it's not just about the gifts. It's also about the fruits of character, the virtue and the nature of God. You see, he has a design. But you and I need development. You know, Paul instructs Timothy, young pastor. He says, listen, and he tells him all about pastoring and dealing with people and church and ministry. And he says this in chapter 5 of the first letter he wrote him, round about verse 22. And he says, don't lay your hands upon someone quickly or suddenly. Understand what's going on there. What he's talking about is, as you pastor this church and people get saved and they grow and you need help and then there's volunteers and lay people and leadership, he said, listen, don't lay your hands on someone suddenly. And what that has to do with is where you lay your hands on somebody, pray over them, pour oil on them, and they are called and anointed. They've been discovered to do a particular work of leadership within the body of Christ. Was an Old Testament principle. It carried on to the New Testament. In fact, it still carries on today. But they're set aside. They've been discovered. He says, don't lay your hands on them quickly. In other words, don't put your hands on them and anoint them for leadership quickly. Though they've been discovered, and though that they may feel direction, they haven't been developed yet. We're a Pentecostal church. We're a full gospel church. We believe in the power and the word and the ministry of the Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the baptism of power. We believe in the supernatural work of God to be displayed in people's lives. We believe in the ministry of Jesus and for that ministry to happen in and through our lives and around our lives and through others who believe. And we can feel all hot and lathered up and like we've been discovered and we got direction. I feel this in my heart and we just think we're ready to go. And I want you to know that there's development that's needed along with God's direction and design with this discovery. I mean, we get excited about it. We're, you know, Pentecostal people. Our spirit, our life, our emotion, our We sense him. We know him. We feel direction. I got it in prayer. It wasn't just the pizza the night before. It was like something happened in my prayer time. Something happened in that service. It was from the Lord. Well, I want you to know what was going on in Moses' life was from the Lord. But he started first in his own power. And he had to be developed. And he becomes a marvelous leader and a deliverer by God's help and anointing and by his hands. And, you know, when we look at leadership in the church, you can go to Acts chapter 6, verse 3. You can go to 1 Timothy. It's just when it talks about these things, when they had to choose, you know, in Acts, they had to choose people to serve and wait tables and to help and do this ministry. It says they gathered together and they had chose seven men from among them to do this ministry. And it says this, they had to be a person of good reputation. In other words, they've been tested over time by life and people have watched them. People have observed them. Is their faith sincere? Not did they never make a mistake. Of course they did. Hello. And when it talks about deacons and leadership, it talks about looking at these men and have them tested. Have they lived life in faith? Have their faith been tested? Have they been developed? It's not like you just got saved, you're excited, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and, you know, boy, you look right. Well, gee, they serve, and boy, they seem passionate. I don't really know them well. Nobody really knows them well. They haven't been around that long, but wow, everything looks together. You know, let's put our hands on them and anoint them for leadership, him or her. And Paul's saying, don't do that, Timothy. You let them be tested. I cannot tell you the number of people over the years of ministry that were newer to, you know, the youth ministry, newer to the college ministry, newer to the adult ministry, newer to the church. They come in on a Sunday. They're excited. They're participating by any outward visual observance. Boy, they sure seem Pentecostal, look like they're full of the Holy Ghost, and they're full of encouraging words, and what a great place, and what a great message, and, oh, I met some of your people. What great people. I just moved here, and I've been looking for a church, and I, whoo-hoo-hoo. And they come back the second week, and next thing you know, they're coming down the aisle, and they're giving you their resume of all the stuff they've done, and say, so, you know, I really want to teach a class here. I believe in this, Pastor. Can I fit it? Or can I sing on the worship team? I sing, or I'm musical, or I'm, they want some, and I just say, you know what? I'm grateful. Love your passion. Glad to meet you. Look forward to getting to know you. Why don't you come in and settle amongst the believers here, build relationship, get a feel for the culture of this church and understand what we stand for and what we embrace and all these things and do this for a while. Build that kind of relationship and let's see where God leads an opportunity down the road. Yeah, okay. Might come back again. And then they're gone. Gone. Sure glad we didn't lay hands on them and anoint them for leadership. It's going to all look right, but something didn't develop. The discovery was there. The direction seemed to be there. It seemed good. But no development. You and I, as God discovers us, or we discover what he has, or opportunity or direction, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get to where we so passionately want to be. And sometimes where we passionately want to be isn't really part of God's plan at all. Development's really important. You see, we have to learn that the light of God is meant to shine through us unhindered. Not that the light, the spotlight, shines on us. His light is supposed to shine through us, not a spotlight on us. It's not the purpose. We have to develop to the point where there's no self-promotion, twisting up things that God wants to do or twisting up our own thinking. Listen, I care what we get in prayer, but I care more about what God truly has for us. Listen, you can look in the Scripture, and there are callings and things that the apostles or that Paul felt and a desire that never got fulfilled. Now, I'm not indicating to you that they didn't hear right. I just know that what they write, and it didn't get fulfilled. But I also know that in Hebrews, it says some of the heroes of the faith, the ones who go unnamed, are the ones who hung on to the faith and walked and hung on and were developed as people, even though their eyes never saw the fulfillment of it. They were commended for their faith because through time they were developed. Development, you don't develop overnight. You ever notice that? You don't develop overnight. I did not go from a gangly little 12-year-old to a man who weighs a large number overnight. Okay? You ever lose weight? Very little happens overnight. It takes many nights. Right? Many nights. You and I, we don't develop overnight. We can have revelation of direction overnight. We can get discovered in a moment, but development does not happen over one night. And you and I, you may feel great things from the Lord that He's called you to, or some opportunity that's coming along the way, or some secrets of your heart and desires you seek the Lord about. And I want you to know, I believe that those things, there's a goodness about them. It doesn't mean all of it's pure. It can be blended with some of our fleshy ideas, some of the corruption of Egypt in our past, that we somehow look for more attention than what we should, and it's a little bit of a motivating factor because of what happened in our past. Different things like that that unfold in our life that we need the Holy Spirit's help to be victorious over and overcome. It's through this development of having this Egypt taken out of us and understanding that where He found us, He's going to transform us into something else. Not just do something else, but transform us into something else. The change that has to happen, the deliverance that can happen, the freedom that can happen from whatever emotional, mental challenge, breakdown we've had in our past or that we were born with or wherever something came from, whether we were abandoned or abused or whatever it is, we picked up somewhere, some trait. I want you to know that the Lord can deliver and heal and develop us to fight that fight of faith and overcome. You should be saying amen right there. That's what He can do. You know, it's an interesting, do you remember going, for those of you who are beyond high school and went to like university or college, it's an interesting thing. You know, back when I went to school, it was elementary school and then it was called junior high. That was grade 7 through 9. Most of the people in this room probably remember that. Those of you who are younger, you're like, what's junior high, what's that? Because we have middle school now that 6 through 8 and different things, and they reformat it. But so just hang on to my old story. I'm from another generation. It was an interesting thing to go to kindergarten. Interesting thing to go to first grade, second grade, and start to develop and be aware, and you know, and you're looking up at these sixth graders because they're like, you know, kings of the school. You know, there's a vast difference between a second grader and a sixth grader. I mean, size, you know, mental development, understanding, strength, speed, all that stuff. You know, when you get to 7 and 9, it's a little less. When you get 10 to 12, the gap narrows, you know what I mean? But, you know, so I remember being in elementary school, man, I just, you know, get to 5th grade and you're like, man, next year I'm the 6th grader. Gonna dominate the school. I'll be the best at kickball on the playground during recess. You know, those kind of things that we think. And then you graduate from sixth grade and you go into seventh grade. And you got all kinds of stuff going on in your brain and body. You get to seventh grade and like, man, the sixth graders are tall here. The ninth graders, you know what I mean? Whoa, they're big. They're benching 275. I'm trying to just weigh 95 pounds. Right? You think I'm kidding? You know, you look, and then you're like, you make your way to ninth grade. Now you're the stud. You're wearing the jersey on game day. You're the one throwing the ball and controlling the ball on the field and on the court. And you, then you go to high school. It's like you keep starting over. You know? As a freshman, I'm a sophomore. And now the schools get bigger because they're drawn from more schools. You know, my high school was a three-year high school. It was 2,500 students. My graduating class was 800. I mean, that's a fair size here in Wisconsin. You know, a lot of competition, a lot of pecking order. Right? A lot of acne. I don't know why I threw that in, but I just did. Make sure you're still breathing. But each way you were developing, you were arriving, you were being discovered, you had some direction, and then you get there, and now it's like you had to go back and start all over every time you graduate. And I want you to put that in understanding in our spiritual life. There's direction, we feel discovered, we develop, and then it's like, this is really great. And then it's like, man, I used to love being the stud in ninth grade. Now I'm a sophomore and I'm nobody. Our kids here are faster and stronger and bigger. Something interesting happened a couple weeks ago. Isaac, our youth pastor, college pastor, he was gathering with the teenagers to leave for youth camp for a week. So they're all gathering out in the parking lot, and the luggage and sleeping bags are everywhere, and they're loading the trailer and loading the vehicles, and parents are dropping them off, and leaders are here. And youth camp, when you're a youth pastor, youth camp, man, it is. It's one of the highlight events through the year. It's not all about youth camp, but it's one of the highlights. I mean, great things happen. You get away from home. The kids have fun. You're with them for a volume of time. You have services. They're at the altar. They're seeking God. God's doing things in their life. You're hearing exciting testimonies. It's just a great launching pad during the year for kids and for leaders. Well, while this is going on, our associate pastor, Pastor Brock, is out on the church mower mowing grass. Now, he was our youth pastor. He got it when it was dwindling, and over time, God brought great blessing that Isaac, our youth pastor, could inherit something to continue to build off of. Great ministry took place. And great ministry is going to continue under Pastor Isaac and his wife Emma and the leaders who are there. But Brock is on the mower now. He's not up by them, and he's looking at this. He says, I remember that. I remember those great days. And what am I doing now? Today I'm sitting on a mower, cutting grass. Seems like you go backwards sometimes. Or you remember the former and it was greater than the present. But see, the old wise man, I'm excited for our youth and praying for them. Excited for our youth pastor, his wife. Also excited for the young man out on the moor. Not because he's my son. But that's a mental, emotional struggle right there. I was doing that, and today I'm doing this. See, what he'll discover and what the old man knows is he's right where he should be, because he's graduating in what God has for him. Not that he's too good to be a youth pastor. No, no, no. Graduating from where God had him and what God was for his life. And he's developing him on that more. And he's developing him through the heartache of what was and the dream of what he feels is to come and the challenge of the difficulty and the frustration of pioneering new ministries, not inheriting anything, but pioneering two ministries within the church that didn't exist. That's hard going. That's hard slugging. It used to be great. But now look. Moses, I was running Egypt under who I thought was my dad and Pharaoh. And now I'm making bricks, or I'm hiding in a foreign land. I remember what I used to eat. I remember the way I used to dress. Moses was graduating. Being in Pharaoh's house was not the pinnacle of his life. It's not the pinnacle of your life. God's developing you. Nobody else might look at your development and your process as glorious, and we don't always feel great about it. But I'll tell you what, that's what God looks at. He's interested in you being discovered, and he's interested in you having direction. But he is so interested in developing you as a person. It's a terrible thing to be discovered and have no development. Professional athletes, musicians, whoever it is, we see the beautiful skill, we see them praised, and then we watch the moral part of their life fall apart. We're no longer a fan because they didn't develop. They were just anointed and gifted. God's interested in developing you. Not just the excitement of being discovered, not just the excitement of a mission or direction. Moses had to realize, I was somebody in Egypt and now I'm nobody there. Some of us go from the parking lot of leading people and all of a sudden we're sitting on a moor. We don't understand it and it's disturbing, and we go through the struggle of, you know, maybe self-image or value, or nobody appreciates me, or you feel like we're not discovered anymore. You're a freshman, not a senior. Then you leave high school. Then you go to college. Go to university. You feel like you're just starting all over again. Was this a bad decision? Am I in the wrong place? This is not as exciting as I thought it would be. Being developed as a person. That's what God has for us. Let me ask you something. What's changed in you the last 5 years? I don't mean just stuff you did or places you went, but you. What's changed in you in the last 5 years? What's changed in you in the last 3 years? 2 years? Or are we just doing the same thing and going through the same motions and kind of finding it safe? Maybe not great, maybe not terrible, just kind of somewhere in that little zone we travel, Nothing terrible, nothing great. We just kind of, I don't want to upset anything. I guess I'm just going to stay here. Or are we going to develop as people, as believers, as followers in Christ? Or, you know, the longer we go to church doesn't mean we necessarily mature. It's not like it gives us tenure. This is not the Teamsters. Okay? This is not local 347. This is the kingdom of God. And longevity is great, but it doesn't promise that we're going to mature or change or develop. We still might feel a little direction, or now we go, I don't want any direction. I just want to kind of stay right here. And what we do is we associate with God and we associate with God's people, but we're not really committed to them because I'm not developing. You know, it's an interesting thing as a pastor. You watch this over years of ministry. Watched it other places. Watch it here. Somebody's a part of the church. They're faithful. They come. They hit a hard time. We care about them. Now, could we care better? Sure. We can always improve, right? But we care for them. The body cares for them. The pastor cares for them. The staff cares for them. And we see them through a challenging time. And it's a time for development in their life. It might be over loss. It might be over conflict, just uncontrollable things, events that unfold, whatever it is, heartache, whatever it is. Sin, whatever. And we love them. We care for them. We do practical things to show it. And time passes. And then they don't come so much. Then they come less. Then they visit. Then they stop coming. I have compassion upon your life and mine and all the hardships we go through. Maybe you're here today, I don't know. Or maybe you're watching, or you're going to watch this. You disappeared. I want you to know that your sad story and what you went through that was very real, I want you to know that there's people here today that are going through a similar story. And they need you. You owe them a debt of love. You owe them. It's not to make you feel guilty. It's not to, you know, create problems for you. But I'm just telling you that unless you have moved on and gotten connected to the body somewhere, if you just kind of faded out and disappeared, or I can't come, or it reminds me of this or that, and it's too hard, hey, then land somewhere. But if you're not landing anywhere, you're using that as reasons and excuses to justify not being committed to God and His family. You just want to be associated. And here you owe a debt of love because there are others here that can benefit from the ministry that needs to come out of you because God was trying to develop you while you were going through a hardship in a difficult place. And now you're just gone. We stall our transformation. We just say, this is good enough, far enough, deep enough. I feel like I'm okay. Listen, you know, we admire the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. He was named Saul first and became Paul. You know, after his marvelous, dramatic salvation experience that we see in the book of Acts, do you know how long he studied after he got saved? He studied and searched the Scripture for 14 years. Before he went on to do some of the marvelous things that we read about. Now, during the 14 years, he was learning and he was doing ministry and he was arguing the word of God against religious leaders who didn't understand Jesus. Understand that while we're being developed, we're also being used. And if you find a place where you're being used by the Lord, understand this. That's probably not your last stop. Probably. At some point, it's our last stop. But it's probably not your last stop. That while you're being used there, you're supposed to be developing for where He's taking you next. That's what He's doing. That's what He should be doing. So that's why you and I cannot stop developing. We can't say, I like it here, seems successful here, I'm comfortable here. Understand, he's developing you for the next place, the next thing, for the next people, the next person, the next neighbor, the next coworker, the next whatever in our life. Being discovered without development can be a tragedy. You know, learning to be stripped of ourself, it's a lifelong walk. But I'll tell you one of the things it does is it removes the stress and anxiety about comparing ourselves to other people or seeking their approval or trying to live in some spotlight instead of letting the light of Christ shine through you unhindered. I know you want to be used by the Lord. Some of us don't want to take the risk. Some of us got comfortable, and so it hinders us. But we got to get to a place where we're stripped of ourself. That's what Paul went through. Jesus showed us how. What Moses went through. You can go through the Bible. It's just being stripped of ourself. Where we're not comparing ourselves to other people or what others are doing. That can't be the motivator. You see, it's nice to get the praise of men. The praise of men is kind of, praise of people is always kind of a dangerous thing. As a pastor, you're like always one Sunday away from everybody abandoning you. They praised me now, and now they curse me or leave, you know. And you got to remember, as a Christian, they hated Jesus first. You know, it's just learning to desire not the praise of men. It's encouraging. It's nice. But to understand, I whatever I've become, I haven't become on my own. I've made choices and decisions to cooperate, but it's been the Spirit that brings forth that in our life. And at the end, I want to hear from him. I want to hear from his lips. Well done. Good and faithful servant. There's no great titles in that, did you notice? They were all things that come by development, that make us look like him more than like ourselves. Getting to the place where we're stripped of all of that, and yet coming to a point where it's not self-promoting, it's a conversation with God. You say, God, here I am. Send me. Or I'm willing to go. Give me direction. And it's a blanket, it's a blank statement. It's not like, I'm willing to go here and do this, send me. No, no. Huh. You are my travel agent. You are my booking agent, not me. See, to come to that place and do it with good conscience, clear conscience, you have to be developed as a person. And talent and skill and anointing might get you discovered, but it's the fruit of God in our life that will see us home. Because that's a faith and a walk with him that is real and developed. It's not just what we show when the spotlight's on us. We'd rather be interested in having the light of men, Jesus, shine through us unhindered. Would you stand up with me, please? At what point will you and I hear this, please? Just because I had you stand up, don't turn it off yet. Listen to this. When will you and I, and we're giving Jesus a good name by allowing our anointing, our gifts, our talents to be displayed to the world. But when will we stop giving the best of us to the world only, and not to the kingdom of God or to one another. I get you want to do it at work because you want to honor the Lord. I'm not saying that that's not true. But part of your motivation is to outrun the other employees. You want the raise, you want the paycheck, you want the bonus, you want the promotion, you wanna, you wanna, you wanna. And so the best of you is coming out. And then when it comes to the kingdom, where you don't get paid money, are we doing our best? You see, the person who does that, they're developing. They're developed. They're not just associating with, they're committed to. It's a wonderful thing to be a person who recognizes a gift within yourself. Knowing that it came from Him, we can't take pride or arrogance in it. It came from Him. You might be wealthy as a man made, self-made, woman-made millionaire. I worked hard and I worked long and I worked smart and no question, I'm not arguing it. But the scripture says that those who self-made millionaires, scripture says that God gave the ability to some people to create wealth. So I'm glad you cooperated with the gifting and whatever gifting you have through this room in your life. Maybe a more humble gift, one that isn't recognized by status in our society. I think we're supposed to be faithful with the gift and the skill and develop and work smart and work hard and work long and do those things. Out of faithfulness. But we're supposed to take that gift that He has given us and not use it for ourselves. We can enjoy the fruits of our labor, and we should. Biblical. It's okay. It's right. We should be able to take the gift within us and not just use it for ourselves, but to take that gift, that giftedness that came from Him, and turn it around and present it back to Him. And that is our reasonable worship to Him. And that does not come without development. You stay stuck in discovery and in direction. And we become a whitewashed tomb. The tomb can look pretty and it can look right and it can look fabulous and it can look attractive. But remember, it's filled with dead men's bones. Doesn't matter how you dress it. So I want you to hear this for your life. God has a purpose for you. You have been discovered. And He's going to give you direction. He may not give it all to you, but He's going to give you the next step. And be excited about it. Be passionate about it. But to do it well and to honor Him, you can't do it without development. You will, I will, crash and burn. We'll have to spend another 40 years somewhere getting Egypt out of us. So pay the price. Be humble. Walk with Him. Be passionate. Find joy. But develop. Let the fruit of His nature just come hanging off you. I'm going to close with this. Yes, it's very short. It's not like a big, long story. Sue and I yesterday, we walked. We own Well, we don't own it yet. We're still paying the mortgage, but, you know, just a modest home on the edge of town. It's a nice rural neighborhood. We're so grateful. We have a nice view out the back. We're grateful. But on the other side of the garage, a small part of the yard, there used to be like 5 apple trees. We're down to 2. Not because they died. By nature. It's that I have a chainsaw. Please don't. I've planted trees since. Those of you who are eco, you know, whatever. I've planted more trees than I've harvested. Anyhow. 2 apple trees. We were standing out there and was talking to her. Yeah, I don't get to say that. I was talking to her. I wasn't listening. Hi, honey. Was talking to her. This apple tree had really green, dark leaves, and the apples this year on this tree, they're like a red, a deep red, kind of that dull. It's not glossed and polished like at the store. And I was looking at it. I said, you know, this year, look at these. She goes, I was just thinking that this last week. I said, look at the beauty of these. And they're hanging down, and we can reach some of them. And that's what we're supposed to look like. That's how we're supposed to develop. That the fruit of his character and nature hang off our life. Gifts and power are magnificent. They bring something we can't do on our own. The Spirit brings it, the anointing and the power and demonstration, and we get excited about it. But I want you to know what Jesus gets excited about. He gets excited about fruit and development so that we can handle the gift, the discovery. We don't run ahead with direction. We don't draft the plan. He does. And he only might reveal a little bit of the blueprint. Don't get frustrated. Follow what he's given you so far. Let development take over. Not your pride, not your ambition. Let his Spirit lead you at his pace. When it's time to move, move. When it's time to be in the classroom and in the private place and in the lab, him developing you, hear it. Learn it, and I'll give you a little tip. If you do it really well and learn it, you won't be in that as long. Yeah, you can't read, but I'm tired of having you in class. I'm going to graduate. Let somebody else deal with you. That's not how he works. You're going to learn to read. You're going to learn to be compassionate. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you insight. He's going to give you patience. And none of those things show up without them being tested and developed. Patience is not a gift. What is it? It's a fruit. And it starts as a little seed. And then it grows and doesn't have much fruit. But through time.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.